Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you've been obsessively watching Olympic swimming like we have, Yishi Wen aside, you will have noticed that the U.S. Olympic team is more diverse than ever before. There are three swimmers with African-American roots on the swimming team, including two locals, Leah Neal from Brooklyn and Cullen Jones from the Bronx in Irvington. And hopefully these three will once and for all debunk the stereotype that African-Americans can't swim. However, it is still true that a very large percentage of African-Americans don't learn to swim. A 2010 study found that nearly 70% of African-American children have low or no swimming ability compared to 40% of whites. And it matters because drowning is the second leading cause of accidental childhood death. And African-American children drown at a rate nearly three times higher than their white peers. So right now we're going to open up the phones for African-Americans specifically to talk about swimming. 212-433-WNYC. Call us up to talk about that 70% number. Do you have thoughts about why a big majority of black children don't learn to swim? Does it have to do with historically unequal access to public pools or easy access to the ocean? Was it the case because your parents didn't learn to swim, so they didn't prioritize teaching you to swim? 212-433-WNYC. And if you're a parent who may or may not know how to swim yourself, are you making sure your kids learn? Are you watching these amazing Olympic swimmers, Leah Neal, Cullen Jones, and Anthony Irvin, and getting inspired to get in the pool or get your kids in the pool? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. We would love to hear from you. And while your calls are coming in, we have Tetsuhiko Endo with us. He's a journalist who writes about surfing and adventure sports. He wrote an article earlier this year called Debunking the Stereotype That Blacks Don't Swim. Tetsuhiko, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's good to be on the show.
So when you see that 70% of African-American kids and 60% of Latino kids don't know how to swim, where do you think that comes from?
Well, it's interesting because we're sort of trafficking in generalizations when we talk about this because, you know, it's a sort of a common stereotype that, quote unquote, blacks don't swim. And, you know, you'll even hear that some from the black community. But I think what we're really looking at is not that blacks don't swim, but it's that a lot of African-American culture does not have a history of swimming or does not have, there's not a culture of swimming in large parts of African-American culture. And from the research I did for this article, it seems like a lot of that comes from a history of being denied access both to public swimming pools and then both to the beach as well.
In some ways, you can see the history of segregation and civil rights through the history of access to public pools. From your conversations with a couple of scholars, we learn in your article that in the 1920s and 30s, recreational swimming became popular as lots of municipal pools were being built, but Jim Crow laws denied pool access to black people who were then relegated to pools that were very small or less desirable. Pools were firmly segregated until the mid-1950s, and then in the 50s and 60s, tens of thousands of pools were being built, but they were built in private clubs in the suburbs, which black Americans had little access to. So there was overt denial of access, and then also residential segregation, including rising property prices and restrictive covenants and race-based denial of home loans in certain neighborhoods for certain people, all the things we know about from history, which all meant, as one little side effect, that blacks had little access to pools and beaches.
Exactly. One of the books I cite in the article is it's a fantastic book by an academic named Jeff Wiltsey, and it's called Contested Waters, and it's all the history of municipal swimming pools in the United States. And one thing he talks about is early on, when the idea of the municipal swimming pool first came into being, was in sort of the late 19th century. It was a Victorian idea and they were essentially, the public swimming pools were essentially seen as hygienic tools, where people were, they were allowed to swim in order to sort of, if they were put in sort of low-income neighborhoods, and people were encouraged or allowed to swim in order to clean themselves, because otherwise they'd be doing it in public. And there's all these hilarious stories from, once again, sort of the mid-19th century to late 19th century of sort of upper-class people in places like New York being scandalized to see naked boys running around, you know, the East River or whatever. So the early swimming pools, which were put in these low-income neighborhoods and people were encouraged to swim in, were actually integrated. They were segregated according to sexes, but they were integrated as far as race was concerned. Then, in the 20s and 30s, when swimming pools became a recreational space, all of a sudden, they were segregated. And the reason being was because, or one of the reasons being, was because white men were essentially worried about black men mixing with white women. You know, there's mm-hmm. that sort of, that pervasive kind of horrible stereotype of the kind of black boogeyman who, you know, is going to come and if he's around white women, he won't be able to control his sexual urges. So you see a very abrupt segregation from, I guess, sort of around the 20s and 30s all through the Jim Crow days.
Serena in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Serena.
Hello. I am an African-American woman. I'm 60 years old and grew up in New York City. I don't know how to swim. I tried to learn, but I have a fear of the water. My daughter, however, who is 18, learned how to swim at Asphalt Green, and she is an excellent swimmer. She, too, is African-American and puts shows the lie of saying that blacks cannot swim because of any physical or physiological reasons. She swims beautifully, as do my cousin's children, who are also kids who are 18 and under. They also took swimming lessons and swim well. Part of the problem is that swimming is expensive to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And unless
mm-hmm.
you have someone at home who can swim well and teach you, going for swimming lessons outside of the YMCA can be expensive. Fortunately, I was able to take her to Asphalt Green, so she learned how to swim competitively. And I'm glad I did.
Serena, thank you very much. And you mentioned the YMCA. Also joining us now is Dorty Jourdain, the executive director of the Bedford-Stuyvesant YMCA. Dorty, welcome to WNYC.
Good morning, and thank you for having me.
And your Y offers swim classes, I see, for both adults and for kids. Have you noticed any Olympics bump in enrollment yet over the last few days?
We are blessed to have a wonderful facility in the Bedford-Stuyvesant area, and we are blessed to have a swim team at our Y, the Bedford-Stuyvesant Piranhas, and swimming has been an essential part of our Y, specifically for families and young children. And this summer, yes, we've seen great numbers, and thanks to Leah Neal, Cullen Jones, and the spirit that they've inspired our young people to, it's just wonderful.
Given the history that we've been discussing and the current statistics that, if they're accurate, that 70% of African-American kids and 60% of Latino kids don't know how to swim, much higher percentage than whites, and the danger that goes with that, do you make it part of your mission for those reasons at the Bedford-Stuyvesant Y to offer swimming instruction?
It is part of the YMCA of Greater New York's mission. And the Bedford-Stuyvesant YMCA is one of those branches. We totally support and adhere to the mission. Youth development, healthy living, social responsibility. One of the things that our CEO, Jack Lund, implemented when he came to New York was the development of a second grade swim program, which is now titled Swim for Life. In conjunction with New York City Department of Parks and Recreation, the New York City Department of Education, we provide swim lessons for second graders throughout New York City schools at no cost to the schools themselves. So we are trying to meet that challenge. We provide a healthy, a splash week opportunity in April, in which it's a week-long opportunity for free water safety and swim instructions at the Y. We also participate in a, once again, during Splash Week, an opportunity for individuals to train to become lifeguards at the YMCA. Mm-hmm. So we try to address the direct social ills of the community through YMCA programs.
Let's take
if
another.
I can cut in with a quick question.
Hang on there for a sec. I want to get another caller on, and then we can come back to that. Lucille in New Rochelle. Hi, Lucille. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you for my call. So I also am African American, and as I had mentioned to you, or producer, I believe, I didn't learn to swim. I grew up in the Bronx. My parents are from the Caribbean, but they grew up higher in their island, so they didn't have access to the beach to swim. So I didn't learn how to swim until I was 12, and that's because my sister, who was 5 years older than me, finally got her license and could drive us out of the Bronx into Yonkers, where we took swim lessons. And then I didn't really go back into a pool until I was in my 20s, and I was in my later 20s and was in Los Angeles, took swimming lessons from a white teacher. And I couldn't do the backstroke. Well, it's not my best stroke. And he said, well, you know, you can't do that because black people have denser bones. You all have thicker body and much heavier bodies than we do. So you guys can't float well. And I'm not saying that I'm skinny, but I can tell you that wasn't true. And I will say that if I had been a child and that had been my teacher, what would that have done to my self-esteem and my ability or my desire to continue swimming. So I would like to think that my comments to the management got that YMCA teacher fired because he no longer taught. But I kept swimming and recently swam the New York Swim Brooklyn Bridge Challenge. And my husband, who's also a swimmer and African-American, and I would count. In each open water swim we do, we count on our hands the number of African-Americans. Swim race we were actually happy about because we got almost to 10. We passed one hand, so that was an achievement. But
Lucille, important call. Thank you for all that. And the Brooklyn Bridge swim, what is that? You swim across the East River?
You do. You swim basically from the Manhattan Bridge. You're swimming from the Brooklyn side to the Manhattan side, and it's between the two bridges.
Just don't swallow any of that water. Lucille, thank you very much. Dorothy Jourdain, Executive Director of the Bedford-Stuyvesant YMCA. Important call, and I bet it's not the first story like that you've ever heard.
No, not at all. We actually, we still have older adults who come to the Y who learn to swim at 55, 65 years old. We have a robust group of older adults called the Splashers who actually have become volunteers. They help teach other older adults to swim. So it is definitely a challenge.
What did you want to ask, Doherty, earlier? Ted, you still want to ask that question?
Yeah, I'd love to, if you don't mind. I was wondering what he thinks is the biggest obstacle in this day and age to getting more black people, or black young people especially, into swimming.
I would say all of the above mentioned are still issues. Access, how many pools are in your current community that you have access to, cost for instructional swim, and as you increase in competitive level, the increased cost to make that happen. Some families just cannot afford that. Through the YMCA, because we have a strong kids campaign to help raise this fund to provide financial assistance, we're able to open up the doors and opportunities for a lot more people. And you still get the issue of the hair question and those other issues.
Wait, can you explain the hair question?
Oh, sure. It's a matter of, well, hey, if you get your hair processed or permed, what the water will do to your hair, difficult it is to have to wash and comb your hair on a regular basis around that. So the it's a constant education issue. Swimming, water safety is a vital part of a young person. It could be a vital part of a young person's life. Being part of a swim team helps build the self-confidence, the development, the self-esteem, those life lessons that young people get to learn by being part of another community, that they translate to education, to other development needs that they have. So it's very important.
Let me get one more caller in here. Chanel in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Chanel.
Hi. Hi, how are you?
Good. What's up?
I'm 26 and I'm an African American woman. And I learned to swim very early on, maybe around 6 or 7 in John Jay Park. I grew up on the Upper East Side and with my mom, a single parent. But my mom's from Trinidad in the West Indies, and there's surrounded by water, her and her brothers and sisters. But they would go to the beach with my grandmother, and she would go to the ocean, take a bucket, fill it up with water, and throw water on them and said, there's no branches in the ocean. So I don't know if it's, you know, even from the Caribbean, it's a type of, you know, there's no one controls the ocean. No one controls water. And I think that might have been something, you know, coming from the past that people are scared of.
Right.
But I think in my generation, I was never told that, you know, there's not a lot of African Americans don't swim or you can't do that. I was always encouraged and, you know, always encouraged to do from a young age. And I think that we're seeing it now that, you know, as more people have access and more youth have access to, you know, going to their pools and learning, like really learning how to, like, you know,
yes,
you know, perfect the skill.
That things are starting to change. We're going to have to leave it there, Chanel, because we're out of time for the segment. Thank you very much. I just want to mention that the Olympic swimmer Cullen Jones, in addition to being a gold and silver medalist, is the face of the Make a Splash program of the USA Swimming Federation. They're focused on making sure minority populations learn to swim, and they want local organizations to do what our guest Jordi Dordain's group is doing at the Bedford-Stuyvesant YMCA and offer swimming classes. And we know that your Y participates in something through the Parks Department called Swim for Life. So thank you for coming on and talking with us. And also we've linked to Ted Endo's article on our show page at WNYC.org. Go right there for resources. And thank you both for coming on with us and talking about this.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot for having us.